Welcome to r/smut, where we find the spiciest stories that Reddit has to offer and read it to you, horny little rats. It's time to r/smut up and listen.
Hey, it's Charlotte.
It's Riley.
And we're back with more Reddit erotica.
Hey, guys. What's up?
And if you're listening to this on your normal podcasting platform, head on over to Patreon. We do this every Tuesday.
Every damn Tuesday. You hear that? And this first story comes from Zoe Kravitz _. Hey, Zoe.
Hey, girl.
And the title is Me and Zoe Kravitz Making Love While Jason Momoa Pounds My Asshole. All right. So I said to Zoe, I love the way she can completely distract me from what I'm doing within the splits of a second.
Oh.
Before I know what has happened, I somehow find myself out of bed and putting on a little show for you. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I can see you're enjoying it. I just imagine all the things you are going to do to me once I lay myself back down beside you. It gives me confidence somehow. I want you to hold my body close and feel your mouth on my skin to make me gasp and swoon. One look from you takes away all my doubts and hangups and lets me just be me. You look gorgeous standing before me, head to toe, your face clear and rosy-cheeked. Your plump lips, firm breasts, and slim body all make me crazy for you as I watch. You look upon me lovingly as you run your fingertips up your thighs and then slide your hands up across your stomach, pulling your top with them and lifting it over your head. Your breasts bounce playfully as they are released from the fabric. Your long dark hair is now draped down over your shoulders and onto your chest, partially concealing your hard pink nipples. You look incredible, I exclaim. So finally, I later gain the heart of the girl after I let her know how I love her.
Okay.
What's happening?
I don't know.
Who's telling this story?
Zoe Kravitz.
No, because the next line says, so one day Zoe Kravitz and I.
Oh, they're both Zoe Kravitz.
Who is this?
I don't know.
So one day, Zoe Kravitz and I were inside my room at 10 p.m. It was now after midnight. Was it 10 p.m. or after midnight?
I have no idea. I don't know.
We talked for 2 more hours. At around 2 a.m., Zoe Kravitz got up and went to the bathroom for a shower to freshen up. Are you going to say her full legal name? While she was in the shower, I came to her. My cock was semi-hard as I moved in and placed the tip of my penis on Zoe's soft lips. She took me into her mouth. Okay.
Jason Momoa is going to kick your ass.
Yeah, where is he? I put a hand behind her head and started to slide my hardening cock down her throat slowly but firmly. She massaged my balls while I pumped my now hard cock into her throat with a steady rhythm. I held Zoe's head firm and plunged into her throat and held still while I pumped my load directly into the throat.
Into the throat.
Into the throat. Back in bed, I was pulling out my soft cock when she came back into the room and announced she was ready for one big finale. I licked up the dribble of cum on her lips and stood up to embrace her.
I think this guy might really like Zoe Kravitz.
He loves her. Zoe, watch out. So, during the time I'm having sex with her, licking her clitoris, a friend of Zoe's bumped inside.
Inside?
A friend of Zoe's bumped inside into room. That's what it says. His name is Jason Momoa. He approached. You know Jason?
Have you heard of him?
He approached, reached down under her skirt to tug her knickers down before pulling her skirt up to above her waist and spreading her legs and labia open with his fingers. I stood up, adjusted my trapped erection, and then knelt between her legs together with Jason. I'm reading it how it says. You've no idea how much what you are about to moan to us.
What?
Jason Momoa said confidently with the voice of Zeus. I'd be happy to do the same for you afterwards, said Zoe. I lowered my head, pausing just before my lips met hers. I felt her gentle pressure on the back of my head, urging me to touch her. I flicked my tongue out gently, touching her outer lips. She gave a deep sigh of satisfaction. Oh, yes, she murmured. Jason Momoa, you really don't know what you're missing by refusing to do what my true love is doing for me. I already feel the urge to be penetrated, and I am sure I am much better fuck after a few orgasms delivered by tongue and lips.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, girl. She sighed again as I began to run my tongue around and into her folds, sliding it as deep into her entrance as I could and moving it in and out rapidly. My clit, murmured by her. Do my clit. He's licking me so good, Jason Momoa. This is so good. Get your father-sized cock out for me to hold.
Ew.
Father-sized cock. Ew. She groaned almost agonizingly as my tongue caressed her clitoris and then flinched when I sucked it into my mouth. Oh my goodness, she cried. I'm going to come, baby. Don't stop what you were doing afterwards. I'll come again very quickly, maybe twice. Fuck. She grasped my head as her orgasm broke and held it tight to her as wave after wave of pure pleasure washed through her. As Zoe predicted, she came again and then again. When she recovered some of her composure and was laying spread-eagled, she called upon me to fuck her. No, I said. I think Jason Momoa should fuck you after I gave you such a good time. Come on, get your dick out. Hang on, she said. That wasn't part of the deal we discussed. The plan. No hard feelings, Jason, but I really don't fancy you that much. Go ahead, Jason.
Is Jason Momoa her ex-boyfriend? Did he date Zoe Kravitz?
I don't know. I think that was another girl that looked like her. Look it up. Look it up. Look it up.
I'm gonna look it up. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. He was married to her mom. He was her stepdad.
Ah! All right. The person who wrote this, you're a weird fuck. All right. Well, that settles that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jason, I said. Give her a good seeing, too. I'm happy with sloppy seconds. You already fucked her. And ate her clit. Or you didn't eat it, but you sucked on it.
Well, maybe he's going back for more.
Oh. As he tried to release his cock, she slammed her legs closed. Jason Momoa, I really don't want you to fuck me, she said. Please, love, you do it. Stop him. Yeah, get out of here. I pushed away Jason and took my hard, average-sized cock and penetrated her vaginal opening. As the very tip of my penis entered, she screamed of pleasure. Yes, daddy, pound me, baby. More, more, more. As I was giving her the fucking of a lifetime, Jason came up behind me. I asked him what he was doing, and he shushed me. Don't ask too many questions, son.
Ew.
Oh, God.
Yuck.
I felt his huge biceps around my neck, and as I continued to pound the love of my life, I could feel his rough, manly fingers massaging my anus. I wanted to fight him off, but it just felt so fucking good. In a moment of weakness, I let him enter my rectum with his huge, veiny member. My eyeballs were inside out as I was receiving and giving the greatest pleasure known to man. No lube?
His eyes rolled inside out?
I don't know. Like, you know, when people like my eyes rolled to the back of my head. Maybe like that. Zoe was screaming, I was screaming, and we were closer than we'd ever been before. Jason kept pounding me, and in the most beautiful way, the rhythms of our pounding matched. We were connected tantrically in a way I never knew was possible. The three of us connected spiritually and physically, and only the gods were in our way. We were no longer mortals. We were godlike creatures in the midst of our lusts and desires. After 2 hours of straight fucking, the whole three-person party climaxed simultaneously. 2 hours!
Wow. Ugh. Is it like 6 a.m. now?
Yeah, Jesus. I could feel the warmth of Jason's semen dripping out of my asshole as I felt Zoe's pussy being filled up with my 1 liter load.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Hyperspermia.
Yeah.
Jason removed his cock as he was still coming and sprayed the white goo all over me, Zoe, in the room. I licked off the cum from his huge dick while my love Zoe drank Jason's cum straight out my rectum. Truffle butter.
Ugh. That's her stepdad.
Yeah. It's probably been in your mom's butt.
Probably.
These summer nights are so special to me. I want to spend them all with you, my love, Zoe. The stars and the moon. I will always protect and love you, even if we can't ever be with each other. And that's okay. Knowing that your spirits are within me is good enough for me. The end. Let me see these comments.
They're not good. One tells him to seek professional help. Wow.
Somebody said, get your father-sized cock out of me to hold. All right. Thank you, Zoe Kravitz and Jason Momoa.
Yeah, thank you. And this next one comes from bully_cutie, and it's called the woman in the black dress baby face emoji.
Oh, no.
A woman with a black dress touched my ankle. She said to me in a stern voice, I want to have your babies. I froze in shock of such a disturbing yet sensual remark. I told this fine young chick, yeah, I want to fuck your brains out with a big metal spoon. What?
What's happening?
She looks all around to see no one was watching. She stood up nice and tall with a completely new expression. She bit her lip and had this this twinkle in her eyes that reminded me of Mrs. Potato Head from Toy Story 2.
Okay, what's happening?
I don't know. She leaned down and pulled my chin up to stare her in the eyes, and she whispered, "I only take battered, gooey spoons." "In your ass," I responded breathlessly. "That," she growled softly, "was obvious." I felt hot and slightly nervous. I looked all around us to make sure we were alone, and I whispered softly in her ear, "Do you want to hear a secret?" She responded quickly while tugging down the ends of her dress. "Mm-hmm." I leaned in closer and nibbled softly on her earlobe and, still whispering, said, "I am baby, baby girl, so why don't we cut straight to it and fuck like little babies and make a couple while we're..." "Shh," she interrupted. She quickly grabbed my hand and pulled me toward the street. Yeah, what is happening?
Yeah, I would run away.
She slammed me into a nearby telephone booth and hiked up her dress as I fumbled with my belt.
No, privacy.
She moaned softly as she pressed against me and proceeded to grind passionately on my loosened belt buckle. Somehow her movements tugged hard enough to pull my trousers right off, and I knew I couldn't hold back any longer. I immediately, without any hesitation, dove down to her ankles and in raw passion said, "It's baby time." She couldn't control herself and without any thinking pulled me right up to my feet and shoved a big metal spoon right up my ass without any form of lubrication.
So you guys were being serious about that?
Yeah, I guess.
I thought that was a joke.
Nope.
They were meant to meet. They were meant to meet this time.
I yelled at the top of my lungs and begged her to pull it out, but it was too late. She continued to keep shoving the spoon so deeply inside of me and pull it back to the end of my asshole, but never so much that it was pulled out of me. She relentlessly penetrated my anus as it was bleeding and dripped endlessly down my legs.
What? What is this?
It took me about 30 seconds to gradually get used to it. Okay, you're bleeding and it only took you 30 seconds to get used to?
Yeah, why are you even whining about it? 30 seconds is nothing.
Yeah. The sensation, the lack of control, all of it. I felt like a newborn babe once again, at last. And I started to cry, but not with fear, but with pleasure. The feeling of ecstasy overwhelmed my entire being. Then, in minutes, she stopped. I collapsed to the ground in fetal position, moaning softly. She looked down at me and said hesitantly, I wish I was a baby too. She then curls down on the ground with me and whispers to me, "Please, please, please me." So I said in the most arousing baby voice, "Goo goo gaga, whittle girl, you have destroyed my itty bitty anus and you deserve punishment." That's so gross. Riley sent this.
I didn't know. I didn't even notice it was a baby emoji.
Okay.
You know what? I don't even want to hear about it. You make me read some of the most fucked up things ever.
That's true. So she looked hard at me and gave me a gentle yet still passionate nod. This was it. It was time to take control. I was a little scared, but mostly excited. So I shook my head quickly to psych myself into it. Yes, I said to myself. It is time to take control. I grabbed my blood-stained cock and pulled up her dress. It was paradise to behold.
This is a horror story.
I then went inside without hesitation. It was soaking wet and reminded me of the good old days in the womb.
What the fuck?
I then lost control and blacked out. I woke to see her staring right at me and she said to me, "Me likey." And then some odd looking platypuses came by singing cheerily, "Ooh, bloodstained babies, ooh la la, ooh la la, ooh la la, bloodstained babies turn me when they are making babies." What? Years have passed and like magic, she appeared in front of me. Her tits were so sweaty and covered in baby formula. My God, I just couldn't resist. Perhaps it was the stench of her milky titties or the memory of our baby play love. This time, there is no holding back. I commenced my whittle baby ritual of stripping completely in the nude on all fours. Then I looked up at her devilish pussy glaring at me as she was nude as well. As I glazed into her satanic red flower, I heard the cry of the platypi echoing behind me, swelling to a crescendo. At the sound of the scream, I orgasmed hard. My cum, creamy as the milk on her tits, sprang down my legs, wetting myself like the dirty whittle baby I am, free at last, the end. Who are the platypuses?
Yeah, why are they here?
I don't know.
Why are they talking?
I have no idea. These comments are just like, what the fuck is this?
I know. Yeah, what the fuck?
Yuck.
Sorry, guys.
Riley, don't send this again.
Yikes. I just want you guys to know we don't read these ahead of time. We just look at the titles, okay?
It's true.
And this next one comes from Sex Cells 6789. And the title is Quint Gallandick and Lorraine Boobert Get Action in the Movie Theater. I could not believe my luck. Looking down from my seat at the premiere of the new movie, Juicing the Beetle, I saw who I thought was Quint Gallandick himself. After a minute of watching, I was sure of it. His fame in the culinary industry was only growing with the launch of his new show, Dick in the Hooch. Well, that sounds nasty.
Yeah.
I had first noticed him because of his date, a knockout blonde with a set of absolutely enormous cans. She looked really familiar as well, but I could not place her face until she leaned over and kissed Quint on the mouth. Then it hit me. She was Lorraine Boobert. A popular porn star from a few years ago. From what I could see, she still had it.
Good for her.
She was most known for her titty fuck videos, and the story was that her tits were all natural.
Good for you.
Big natural titties. By now, I had lost all interest in the movie and was fully focused on the famous pair. As the movie wore on, they lost more and more self-control. Their kisses grew longer and more intense. What started as pecks on the lips quickly turned into open-mouth French kissing. If I tried to do that with Andrew, he'd be like, get the fuck off me, I'm trying to watch the movie.
Yeah, I don't think Zach and I have ever made out in a movie theater.
Yeah.
But in high school, I'd get nasty in the movies.
Nasty. Slut. Soon, Quint started feeling up Lorraine's majestic boobs right there in the movie theater. Her top was low cut and it tightly conformed to the shape of her breasts, leaving almost nothing to the imagination. He reached over and placed a hand on one tit, casually resting it there. Her hand moved over to the top of his thigh to press into his crotch. He shifted in his seat and adjusted his pants. He draped an arm over her shoulder and filled his other hand with one of her boobs. It was obvious why she had chosen Boobert as her porn name. Even across the room and underneath her dress, I was irresistibly drawn to her massive rack. She began massaging his dick through his pants, using her other hand to rub the inside of his legs. Both of his hands were roaming over her tits now, pressing into one and lifting up the other one in his palm. He's like, yeah, this is a nice titty.
They don't call her Lorraine Boobert for nothing.
Giggling, she turned her head to look behind them while whispering something in his ear. He silently nodded and leaned over to plant a kiss directly on top of one of her boobs. She unzipped his fly and pulled his penis out of his pants. It was partly erect and had drops of pre-cum on it. Lorraine bent over Quint's lap and placed his erect dick in her mouth. He reached over her ass and, pulling up her dress, ran his hand over and down her full ass to her panties. He pulled them aside and touched his fingers to her pussy lips. Her body twitched from the touch. Her head began to slowly bob up and down in his lap as he ran his fingers through and into her pussy. He leaned back in his chair and fingered her as she milked his cock. She reached down between her legs and touched her clit, lifting one knee up in the air. By now, the people in the neighboring seats were completely ignoring the movie and were watching the X-rated show right beside them. They were not saying anything, but her moans were getting louder, and the usher up the aisle started walking down towards them. I mean, how could you watch the movie if that was happening right there?
Yeah, free show.
My eyes would be glued.
And these are celebrities.
Yeah, and one's a porn star, so like,
she knows what she's doing.
Yeah. Watch her do her thing. Quint began rapidly thrusting his fingers in and out of her vagina, her moans keeping time with his thrusts. He put his other hand on top of her head and began pressing down as he lifted his hips up. She began to gag and moan at the same time, her sexual needs struggling with her need for air. With one last long thrust, his whole body tensed as his hips pressed tightly into her face, his fingers deep inside of her. Her fingers were flying over her clit as her own hips bucked in her chair. With one final gargled wail, she came in a gush of clear liquid, soaking Quint's hand and her chair. Just then, the usher walked up and reached over Lorraine's exposed ass to tap Quint on the shoulder as he leaned over to murmur something to him. Quint pulled his wet finger out of Lorraine's pussy and held them up to the usher's nose.
Why?
He's like, smell, 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 smell.
The usher's like, let me get a whiff of that.
Hey, pull your fingers out of her pussy. I want to smell it.
I won't tell on you if you let me smell it.
Put that shit right up under my nose. The usher pulled away from his hand and delicately tapped Lorraine on her bare shoulder. She pulled her mouth off of Quint's dick with an audible pop and looked up at the usher, cum drooling from the side of her mouth. She opened her mouth wide and with a finger cleaned the drips from her cheek, wiping them over her boobs. Sticking her tongue out, she put her hands under her boobs and pressed them together, enticing the usher with her magnificent body. He leaned over to whisper something to her as she spread her legs and pulled her skirt up, showing him her pussy dripping over her panties. The usher stood up and gestured up the aisle towards the door. Quint zipped his fly and stood up, giving his hand to Lorraine as she arose. She spread her knees and bent over, lifting her skirt and adjusting her panties to cover her pussy. Together, they walked out, his hand still over her bare shoulder, on her tit, and her hand squeezing his ass. I could only imagine what else they were going to do tonight.
Wow.
Oh my God. They're crazy.
They are. Wow. What a show for everybody.
I know. Good for you guys.
And this next one comes from Deleted.
Woo!
And it's called New York Pleasure Department. And the tags are gay, cops, fiction.
Gay cops.
Marty Marshmallow had always wondered what happened when you called 911. He'd heard the cops knocking violently on his fighting neighbor's door before, saying over and over, NYPD, open up. Their strong, confident voices would ring through the cheap halls. It always made Marty tingle with excitement inside when the cops would storm into the next door apartment. Their entrance would begin with a series of bangs, yells, and then a silence broken only by a chorus of a particular round of moans.
Moans?
Yeah.
What are they doing there?
Picking up the phone, Marty knew this was his chance. Wendy and the kids were at a cheer event in New Jersey, and they wouldn't be back until the next morning. Beep, beep, beep. Marty's beefy fingers pressed the buttons, and without having to wait, a voice answered and said, 911, what's your emergency? Marty froze, and all the operator could hear was his heavy breathing. His fingers became numb with nerves, and he could feel something off in his sweatpants. What did he, piss, shit? Does he have a boner?
I mean, yeah, but like also you already have kids. If you have a boner, just say you have a boner.
It's just a 911 operator. It was an excitement he didn't know he needed, but Marty was still too afraid to say anything else. He let out a loud, nervous exhale and hung up. This was too much for Marty to handle, and he decided he'd lay down. His body had tensed and turned him into a tightly wound beef roast, and he knew there was only one way to relax.
A beef roast?
Yeah. He flung the blankets off the bed and grabbed the photo of him and his wife from the bedside table. They had gone skiing and were both smiling. Wendy's cheeks were red and swollen, but seeing her in her expensive onesie was too much for Marty. He grabbed his average-sized cock and began to tug and imagined if Wendy had a hole in the back of her ski pants. She would sit on top of his cock in a flat, tree-lined section off the trail, while he could feel her Patagonia roughly scrape his naked skin. Marty continued to tug and tug. His cock was about the size of an Axe deodorant bottle, but had a particularly large head. Oh, he's a chode.
Yeah, that is a stubby little dick.
It was where he focused all his strength, and the thought of seeing Wendy's bare ass gliding down the mountain, her blue jumpsuit covering everything but her loose, bouncy cheeks, made him unable to hold on any longer. Oh, he loves his wife.
That's cute. But like also, he's wanting cops to come over here and fuck him.
Yeah. It hasn't happened yet. We don't know if it's going to happen. It's probably going to happen, but...
I was going to say, he thinks it's going to happen.
Closing his eyes, Marty began to rest. His belly button was full of thick, heavy cum, and he prepared to sleep. He wanted to stay on that ski slope forever. Ew! He's just going to go to sleep with a cummy tummy?
Disgusting! What the fuck? And I'm just picturing a cum-filled, hairy belly button.
Blech. Nasty.
Good night.
Men are gross. But then he heard a loud, booming knock. It was not the sound he was used to. His kids rattled a particular quiet, quick burst, and Wendy never knocked. She didn't even use the buzzer, keeping her keys always in her front pocket. NYPD, yelled a voice. Marty began to panic. The only article of clothing he had on were the practical present Christmas socks he got a few weeks ago. Open up! The knocks got louder and louder. They were booming into Marty's ear, and he did what he always did, panic. And knowing he couldn't handle hiding any longer, Marty flung out of the bed in a flash. Unlocking the door, Marty saw the two men. They were both tall, clean-shaven, and had neat haircuts. Both of them had defined cheekbones, and one had brown eyes, while the other had green. They were both covered in thick, heavy coats, but Marty knew they also had tight stomachs, the kind that's formed from constantly moving around for 8 hours a day, while always eating a foot-long Subway sandwich for lunch. What?
Okay.
Marty began. He didn't know what to say. He didn't have a clue why the officers were there.
They can trace your call.
Yeah. He knew he'd called 911, but he didn't think anyone would show up simply because he'd rang. Marty figured his call would have been marked down as either a prank or a mistake, and no one would think anything of it. We got a report of a domestic disturbance. Marty was still only sporting socks, but used the door to block his naked body and his cock. It still had a few tiny drips left in it, and Marty could feel it moisten the doorknob. Ew.
I know.
Get your dick off the doorknob.
Your kids touch that.
His mind was stuck between knowing he'd have to clean it before Wendy and the kids got home and figuring out what to do about the cops. They were staring him up and down, and without realizing it, they pushed the door open, sending Marty flying.
And he's just in socks.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Christmas socks.
Yeah.
His hairy hamstrings and large butt landed on the coffee table. It sent a pain through Marty as the IKEA wood was sharp. Jesus, Tony, look at what we have here, the cops shared a laugh. Their voices seemed like they'd seen it all. Marty assumed they had seen dead children, beaten wives, burnt bodies, and almost every atrocity you could think of. It made Marty relax as he knew a naked man was one of the more mundane situations they'd be called in for. I didn't mean to call, Marty squirted out of his mouth. His tongue had become dry with anxiety, and when he let out a large, violent cough to clear his throat, he felt his cock bounce. Marty didn't know this was possible, and when he looked down, he saw it was even harder than when he daydreamed about going back to Vermont and being on the slopes with Wendy.
Marty, I think you have some self-reflection.
Mm-hmm, he likes this. Marty flung his hand over his dick, hoping it would go down, but when the cops broke into heinous laughter, it only made Marty bigger, and his hands could no longer hold him back. He became so big it actually pushed into one of the cops' groin. Where is this cop?
Where are the cops standing? Isn't he on a coffee table?
Are they standing over him?
What the fuck?
Laughter continued until one cop said to the other, I guess it's our lucky day. Ooh. The cops smiled at one another until they both got down on their knees. Their work boots made Marty's carpet scrunch up, and in perfect unison, the cops each took a side of Marty's cock. Their lips were moist, and Marty could smell the cheap coffee on them.
Our lucky day, we get to suck a dick. A pudgy man's chode.
Lucky day.
To each their own.
They began to slide up and down, looking like two twins on a lollipop. It was unlike anything Marty had ever experienced, and one by one, they began to swallow all of Marty. They took him deeper into their throats, and Marty never wanted them to stop, but Marty couldn't handle it. He tried with all his power to hold it in. He even closed his eyes and thought of his mother-in-law on the ski slope, barking at him with her bleached teeth, telling him he can't go on another run, because they had a 5 o'clock dinner reservation at an underwhelming and overpriced Italian restaurant in town. But even his mother-in-law's terrible New Jersey accent couldn't hold it back. The splooge flung deep into one of the cop's throats, and he saw the cop's eyes fly back into his head. He looked like he'd swallowed a bite of perfectly cooked, medium-rare steak. Save me some, the other cop said, and together they fed each other like baby birds.
Ew.
They're spitting it into each other's mouths. Sperm flew from mouth to mouth, creating a beautiful thick goo. The cops turned it into a giant white ball, and they both turned toward Marty.
Ew.
Time to swallow, pal, one said. Marty couldn't believe it. He'd never even been curious as a kid, taking a taste from the inside of his giant baseball socks. Ew, your cum socks?
What?
Marty nervously said. He felt repulsed, but suddenly the other cop pulled out his gun and pointed it at Marty's head.
What? Swallow it, bitch.
He placed the cold barrel on Marty's sweaty forehead and said, you better take it, buddy, or you're never going skiing again.
How'd they know?
Marty leaned forward and took the spitball.
Ooh.
It tasted like the ocean, but it made Marty begin to grow once again. His cock was pulsating, and when he switched it around like mouthwash, Marty had a thought. He'd always imagined getting raped meant they'd bend him over, frisk him down, squeeze their fingers deep inside to open him up before making him squeal like a pig. And as he swallowed the last drops of the warm, thick cum, he couldn't believe he'd been the one doing the pig fucking. The end.
Wow. Gay cops.
Gay cops.
What can you say? And this last one comes from Stuffer 777. The title is the team mascot, and the tags are male, 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 female.
So many males.
Oh, God. Nightmare, nightmare, nightmare. A high school senior team, a gang of brawny, testosterone-pumped young men hitting new heights for the school on the battlefield of sport. They are, of course, supported by the high school senior cheerleading squad, where the young women of the school cheer them on. Just as the football team is only the fittest and best-bred young men, the cheerleaders are only the hottest and most breedable young women. Except it's clear that over the Christmas break, one of the girls has slipped up a bit on coach's diet plan. She's now got a spare tire around her waist, where the other girls have tight hip dips on which hang lacy thongs and sports bras. Girl, let your tire fly, baby. Who cares?
Yeah.
The cheerleading squad, of course, has a well-known but unwritten function to form a motivator and stress reliever for the football team. Almost every guy in the team is going out with a girl from the squad. It's almost taboo to date outside the tight-knit circle. But now, with the cheerleader squad increasingly one woman down as she fails time and time again to turn up for practice, the balance has shifted. There is no longer one girl for every guy. Competition is breeding. The jostling for the girls' attention is getting in the way of the boys' team spirit, and it's affecting their performance on the field. The coach sees this and comes up with an idea. He invites the girl in question for a talk in his office after yet another practice where she was out of breath before the other girls had even finished the warm-up. He makes her a deal. She can stay on the team, but she won't have to do the routines. She can sit on the bench, have an ice cream and a hot dog, cheer on the guys from the sidelines, even help the girls with their form. Okay, bitch. He's like, oh, Piggy, want some ice cream and a hot dog? Sit down. But of course, she has another role too. She has to get on the pill. The other girls stay skinny through not just tight diet, but the use of condoms. When their boyfriends are getting their hole, they don't get to come inside. This way, they avoid the famous weight-based side effects of the pill and stay trim, but not this one. So whenever the stress of high-level play gets too much, the whole team is in an unwritten agreement. No matter who he's dating at the time, or even who she's dating, he gets to use her body for a while, and he gets to come wherever he likes to release the tension. The other girls may be a little jealous at first, but in truth, it is the men's performance which matters most. So it goes. A beautiful little cum dump grows. Her teammates stay slim and focused, with boyfriends to present to their parents. Nobody gets pregnant, yet anyway. The players are better than ever. Each time they go to score a point, they give a little wink to their chubby little helpers. Sucking away at an extra large soda on the side of the pitch, her hips now spreading to cover the bench. She's the team mascot, and she's well-loved, and doesn't it show? The end.
Oh my god. Okay.
Wow. Fucked up.
I'm going to pretend like they're all
adults
over the age of 18.
Yeah, we'll start there.
All she did was gain like 15 pounds.
And they're like, fat ass, porky.
Yeah, and they're like, everyone gets to fuck you. And you get to take the pill and fuck up your hormones. And you're going to take the cum wherever it lands.
Yeah, but she's still on the team. So like,
is she?
You can still say she's a cheerleader. No, yeah, 100% fucked up. Instead of being like, hey, let's go on a few extra runs. Let's tighten up our diet. They're like, here, fatty, eat some more food and make sure your legs are fucking open, fat bitch.
Poor girl.
I'm sure she's loving it.
Yeah.
She gets to eat whatever she wants.
She does. Well, we hope you like this episode.
Yeah. Come on over to Patreon. Why don't ya?